Hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and if this is the first half of the 3 o'clock hour, well, we want to hear from you because you are hearing a live broadcast. We want you to be a part of the conversation or pose your particular question. So, if that's the case, give us a call, 844-322-2742, and that's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. Welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. Here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about our mandate that God has given to us as children of God, the opportunity that He has provided to us to really be a part of His work here on planet Earth. And it's very exciting. Talk about purpose. This is purpose to the nth degree, as some would say, purpose on steroids. And it really is an exciting, just possibility to think that you can be a part of what God is doing here on planet Earth. And here's what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I think this is one of the most important passages in the Word of God, something that you should really spend some time just dissecting, really understanding what the apostle is trying to teach us here, and the mandate that he is giving to each and every one of us. This isn't just for ministers or leaders or pastors or the clergy, so to speak. This is the mandate for all believers. We all fit into this, and whatever way in which we've been gifted by the Holy Spirit, we've been gifted to carry out this particular task, this particular ministry. So here's what Paul wrote. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So we've been reconciled to God through Christ, and now we've been given this ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has entrusted to us the message of reconciliation. So we have this wonderful opportunity to go out into the world and to tell people that God is no longer counting their sins against them, that they have been reconciled to God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's the ministry that we've been given. Then he goes on to say, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. So what is your purpose here on planet Earth? To be an ambassador for Christ Jesus, to represent the things of Christ in this world of darkness in which we live. It's this opportunity to pierce the darkness with the light of Jesus Christ. So we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. So God can work through any way that he so chooses. Yeah. He doesn't need us. He doesn't need the body of believers, but yet he chooses to work through the church, to work through the body of Christ, and to appeal to mankind through us. Talk about purpose. That's purpose. Yeah. So who are we as believers in Christ? Well, we're children of God. We are totally identified with God, with Jesus Christ. We have been baptized into Christ, baptized into his death, into his burial, into his resurrection. We've been raised to walk in the newness of life. We've been given a brand new identity. And with that identity comes a role, comes a purpose, comes a function. And that function is to represent Jesus in this world today, yeah, and to allow Jesus to make his appeal through us. What is that appeal? It is the appeal of reconciliation. Christ has reconciled the world unto himself through his shed blood of Jesus. Now we appeal as ambassadors for the world, for individuals to be reconciled unto God, to receive that reconciliation, to just open up their arms, just to open up their hearts and receive what Christ has accomplished. So that is our mission. That is our mandate here on planet Earth as believers in Christ. And that is across the board. Every single believer has been called, has been equipped to be a minister of reconciliation. Now, we all, Bob, have various interests in life.
Sure.
There are folks that are more politically minded than others. Mm-hmm. Well, if they're believers and they are in that political arena, what is their mission within that political arena?
Be ambassadors for Christ.
Ambassadors for Christ, ministers of reconciliation. There are some that are focused on particular issues, moral issues that are facing our country today, that are facing the world today, that many of these issues, if they are voted on and go a certain way, they will move us down a road of moral decay.
Right.
And there's folks that want to stop that, and I applaud their efforts. But if they're believers in Christ, then they jump into those arenas with a greater purpose in mind, to be ministers of reconciliation.
Yes.
They want to stop that moral decline, that moral decay, but they have a greater purpose, and that's to be a ambassador for Jesus Christ, to represent him in that particular arena. There are those who just go about their lives living, you know, the day-to-day routines. They're excited and content to be working in the business world, to be selling real estate, to be doing all of those various things. But if they're a believer and they're in those particular spheres of influence, they're ambassadors for Jesus Christ.
Indeed.
They may be selling a piece of real estate, selling a piece of land, selling a house, but God has in mind, what if that person that is buying it is lost and needs to be reconciled?
Right.
You're an ambassador. You represent Christ's kingdom right then, right there. So we have been reconciled to God. God is not counting our sins against us. We get to take that same message out there into the world. And as I said, that is purpose on steroids. That is an incredible purpose that we have the privilege, the opportunity to live out each and every day.
Absolutely. It's a wonderful privilege that we have to represent Christ right here on earth. And gosh, that's what we hope we're doing every day on Basic Gospel. And friends, we so appreciate the many of you, our friends, who stepped up to help us during the final week last week that ended actually Saturday, the last week of our fiscal year. It's because of you and many others who make it possible for us to be on the air every day with this good news of Jesus Christ. But even though the fiscal year is over, it's no time to let down. So we ask and hope that each of you who hears this message and who loves the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, the new covenant in his blood, hope you can help us every month. Just keep it on track. So click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742. When you do, we're going to send you a copy of an empowering CD series that will teach you how to be a voice. And that's what we're talking about as ambassadors of Christ. Be a voice for the gospel of Jesus. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net or phone 844-322-2742. In fact, that's the number you can call right now if it's still the 3 o'clock, first half of the 3 o'clock hour. We want to talk with you directly, and you can do that if you call 844-322-2742. Well, we had a call overnight from Mark in California. Let's see what Mark's up to.
Should the Sabbath day be kept on Saturdays instead of Sundays? I thought the Catholic Church changed the Sabbath day to Sunday, and the fourth commandment is to keep the Sabbath day holy. So shouldn't we be keeping the Sabbath day? Saturday is holy. Thank you. This is Mark in Rockland, California.
Yeah. Well, Mark, thanks for calling. We certainly appreciate that question. And, you know, that's a question that many people have. There's denominations that are built around that fourth commandment of keeping the Sabbath day holy. And they would certainly argue that the Sabbath is Saturday, from sundown on Friday to actually sundown on Saturday.
Right.
The Jewish people, that's what they call the Sabbath, is sundown on Friday night to sundown on Saturday. So that Sabbath has never changed. I think we as Protestants, as Christians, we have decided to worship on Sunday simply because Christ was raised on Sunday.
Right.
It's in honor of this new creation that we're a part of, that was ushered in the day he was raised from the dead. So we celebrate the risen Christ. We worship on Sunday and have been gathering on Sunday for 2,000 years. But here's what we need to know. It really isn't about a day. It never has been about a day. We try to make it about a day, but as far as that fourth commandment is concerned, that was just a shadow representing something of substance, something that was real, and that's the Sabbath rest that we experience through faith in Jesus Christ. So that was a wonderful finger pointing forward to what we could experience in Jesus, but it was never the real thing. Mm-hmm. And we have to understand that. The writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1, the law is merely a shadow. It's not the substance. The realities are found in Christ Jesus. Paul echoed that same truth in Colossians chapter 2 when he wrote this, therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. Now listen to what he says about these. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. So the Sabbath, according to Paul and according to the writer of Hebrews, the Sabbath is outlined in that fourth commandment in the Mosaic covenant, is merely a shadow of the things to come. Well, Christ has come. Now we can experience the reality. And that reality is an eternal rest in Jesus. We rest from our works just as Christ rested from his works. When he died on the cross, when he cried out, "It is finished," his work was complete, his work was done. And as the writer of Hebrews said, he sat down at the right hand of God the Father. Why did he do that? Because his work was finished. So there's nothing more that can be done as far as sins are concerned. He took them away once and for all. He satisfied everything. He paid the debt in full. And so there's nothing that we can add to that work. So to honor what Christ has done, we rest. That's one element of faith, resting in the finished work of Christ. That's what the Sabbath is. And that's what that fourth commandment represented. It was a shadow of that reality that we experience in Jesus Christ. That's what we really need to come to grips with. And when we do, we're not going to be so concerned over whether the Sabbath is Saturday or Sunday. We're not going to judge or be judged for one day or another. We're going to enjoy this eternal rest in Jesus every single day,
every day
of the week, resting from our works just as Christ rested from his. That's what the Sabbath, this picture of the Sabbath, is all about. And boy, if you are out there, you are not at rest. You have a sense of restlessness inside of you. It's time to take a look at what Christ actually accomplished, because he finished the work, folks. There's nothing left for you today. There's nothing left for you to do. You don't have to beg. You don't have to plead. You don't have to promise. You don't have to try harder. You don't have to do more. You don't have to give more. Christ has done the work. Simply say thank you and rest in what he's accomplished. Your sins have been forgiven once and for all. You are a forgiven person. You have been declared righteous in the sight of God because of the work of Jesus. Say thank you and rest. It will change your life forever, I guarantee it.
Mark, a great question, and we appreciate you contacting us. Hope this answer has been a help to you, and hope you'll call again if you have something else you'd like us to discuss.
Well, thanks, Bob. We had a question from our Facebook family yesterday. Lisa was watching the program, and she had a question about church and Bible study, and I think it's a very important question as well. So she and her family aren't attending a church regularly at this particular point in time. They're looking for something that would fit their family, their situation. They haven't found that. So what they've done and what they do, they watch various things online, but then they gather once a month for a Bible study. And so it's primarily for a ladies group. 5 to 10 ladies show up every week. They're working through a resource that we put together, the New Covenant Journey. Fabulous resource. Well, one of the ladies that was attending this particular Bible study came one week and said, I won't be coming anymore because my husband says that I shouldn't be coming if this isn't sponsored by a church or isn't happening through an organized church. And so she asked, am I doing something wrong? Should we not be gathering as believers in Christ to study the Word together? Now, Lisa, continue that Bible study.
Yeah.
Keep meeting. We have that opportunity to gather with believers, and we can do so in an informal way, in a formal way, but don't let anyone say that you shouldn't be doing that Bible study. If you want to do that Bible study and there are folks that want to do that study with you, you keep going. You keep gathering that group. You keep opening up the Word of God together. You keep trusting the Holy Spirit to teach you, to guide the group into all truth, and enjoy one another's company and fellowship and encourage one another and stimulate one another to good deeds. That's what we can do as a body of believers. Now, as far as this lady is concerned with her husband, if the husband really is concerned, he ought to go and visit. Mm-hmm. Instead of just making a point-blank statement, you can't go because it's not sponsored by a church, he ought to go and take a listen and participate a couple of times.
Yeah.
And then the two of them can decide together. Because that part of it is really a marriage issue between that wife and that husband. And so they need to be on the same page. If the husband's just saying don't do it, I think he needs a little bit more information before he says don't do it. And I would encourage you to ask the lady to invite her husband so that he can come and get a good feel of what's actually happening there. And when he does, he might make a different decision.
Yeah.
And I bet he would.
He probably would, Well, Lisa, great that you contacted us, and hope that's a help to you. And friends, for those of you who are excited about your life in the Lord Jesus Christ and want to learn more about how to share the good news, we have a multi-CD teaching series that God has used as a catalyst for many to share the good news of Jesus with their family and friends and co-workers. It's called Be a Voice, and it will reveal the power that you need to live out who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ, His life in you. And with your gift to Basic Gospel this month in July, we'll send you a copy of this empowering series. Just go online to basicgospel.net and click Be a Voice on the roll through. Again, Be a Voice at basicgospel.net or phone your gift at 844-322-2742. Make your donation today and learn how you too can be a voice for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Again, click Be a Voice at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742. By the way, we also accept donations through PayPal, and that's currently the best way for those of you outside the U.S. and Canada to make your contribution, your donation, to Basic Gospel. We hope you all take the opportunity to do just that.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Thorndale, Texas, and talk to our good friend Clay. Hi, Clay. Welcome to Basic Gospel, my friend.
Hey, thank you. I'm having a conversation with that started the 4th of July, and I'm telling someone, I believe that America was founded on the new covenant of grace. And so I just wrote one sentence here. I want to make sure I say it right and get your opinion. If the new covenant of grace nullifies the old covenant of the law as described in Hebrews chapter 5 and 7, are Hebrew and Jewish Americans still under the old covenant if they're outside the new covenant and bound by the law? And if so, does not God honor it?
Well, the new covenant, I mean, that's what basically governs the body of Christ. I mean, that's the life of the church. America is a nation, and its laws and that sort of thing are based on Judeo-Christian principles, but I wouldn't say that it's part of a new covenant. I think it would be more in line with the old covenant. But, you know, our Constitution, our Declaration of Independence, I think are very, very much tied to some of the things that we read in the Bible, particularly that old covenant. But as far as the new covenant is concerned, that's something for believers. You know, the United States is governed by external laws. So every year we're adding to the number of external laws. Like last year, I think 85,000 new rules and regulations were created to govern all the various things that we encounter as a nation. But as a nation, we are governed by that rule of law, those external laws that we see first in the Declaration of Independence and then in the Constitution, and then, you know, that have been moving forward in our 200 plus year history. So we have to recognize that. So it's only the Church of Jesus Christ that are being governed internally by the work of God's Spirit. So individually, we have the Spirit of God living in us. Corporately, as a body of believers, we have the Spirit of God living in us. He is writing in us these laws of faith, hope, and love. And so we're operating at a different plane, and as a result, we can impact the world at large by showing the world what it really means to live in the newness of life that's been given to us in Christ Jesus. I hope I understood your question right, Clay, and I hope I answered it.
Just one more thing, Bob. So does God still honor the Mosaic covenant for a natural olive branch America that's not under the new covenant? I don't believe that he does.
Well, I mean, we have a country, again, it's a country that is, you know, we've won our freedom, you know, through that Revolutionary War. We've ordered our freedom through the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. But, you know, that freedom, that great experiment, the great American experiment, really depends upon the virtue of its people. So it's really, you know, up to us. And that's why faith is so vitally important, and Christians are so vitally important within this country, because we can actually, you know, carry out the freedom because of the work of God's Spirit inside of us. But, you know, many people want to say that America is the new Israel. We see that a lot, even though it may be unspoken. I think there's a lot of people that think that, and that's just not the case. I mean, God is working. He is bringing blessing out into the world through the body of Christ. We are the ambassadors of Christ, the body, Amen. The church, the called out believers. And because believers, you know, are make up a big part of this country that we know as the United States of America, I think we're going to see the work of God through believers impacting this country. And that's the way it's been for 200 years. And I think believers, if we continue, it's going to continue that way. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I agree with you. Completely. The whole deal is someone needs to come into the new covenant. If they're still operating under the old, they need to come into the new, and that's through the goodness of God that draws them to repentance and God's grace.
Yeah, if people are dead, they need life. And there's only one way to get life, and that's through faith in Jesus. And once they have life, they're a part of that new covenant. And so that's our role, is to invite people to experience life in Christ.
Absolutely. Well, Clay, thanks for your call. Friends, again, our thanks to the many of you who stand with us month by month and year to year to keep the good news on the air and online. We hope you can continue as we move forward. It's your gifts that make this ministry possible, as I said earlier. Click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742. And to say thanks for your help this month, we're going to send you our CD series called Be a Voice. That's 844-322-2742 or donate online at basicgospel.net. Don't forget also that we have a great, great sale going on, the July Freedom Sale between now and the 11th. Hope you'll take advantage of that in the online store at Basic Gospel. That's it for this edition. We'll be back tomorrow. See you then. Bye-bye.